still falls upon the backs of men. Niriti stirs within his dark lair. He harasses the seaways of the south. Do you plan on spending another lifetime indulging in metaphysics to find new justification for opposing your enemies? Your talk last night sounded as if you have reverted to considering why again rather than how.
No, said Sam. I just wanted to try another line on the audience.
It is difficult to stir rebellion among those to whom all things are good. There is no room for evil in their minds, despite the fact that they suffer it constantly. The slave upon the rack who knows that he will be born again, perhaps as a fat merchant, if he suffers willingly, his outlook is not the same as that of a man with but one life to live. He can bear anything, knowing that great as his present pain may be, his future pleasure will rise higher. If such a one does not choose to believe in good or evil, perhaps then beauty and ugliness can be made to serve him as well. Only the names have been changed.
This, then, is the new official party line? Asked Yama.
It is, said Sam. Yama's hand passed through an invisible slit in his robe and emerged with a dagger, which he raised in salute.
To beauty, he said. Down with ugliness.
A wave of silence passed across the jungle. All the life sounds about them ceased. Yama raised one hand, returning the dagger to its hidden sheath with the other.
Halt!
He cried out. He looked upward, squinting against the sun, head cocked to his right.
Off the trail, into the brush! He called.
They moved. Saffron-cloaked bodies flashed from off the trail. Ratri's litter was borne in among the trees. She now stood at Yama's side.
What is it? She asked.
Listen.
It came then. Riding down the sky on a blast of sound, it flashed above the peaks of the mountains, crossed over the monastery, whipping the smokes into invisibility. Explosions of sound trumpeted its coming, and the air quaked as it cut its way through the wind and the light. It was a great looped Tau cross, a tail of fire streaming behind it.
Destroyer come a-hunting, said Yama.
Thunder chariot,
cried one of the mercenaries, making a sign with his hand.
Shiva passes, said a monk, eyes wide with fear. The destroyer.
Had I known at the time how well I wrought, said Yama, I might have numbered its days intentionally. Occasionally do I regret my genius.
It passed beneath the bridge of the gods, swung above the jungle, fell away to the south. Its roar gradually diminished as it departed in that direction. Then there was silence. A bird made a brief piping noise. Another replied to it. Then all the sounds of life began again, and the travelers returned to their trail.
He will be back, said Yama,
and this was true. Twice more that day did they have to leave the trail as the thunder chariot passed above their heads. On the last occasion, it circled the monastery, possibly observing the funeral rites being conducted there. Then it crossed over the mountains and was gone. That night they made camp under the stars, and on the second night they did the same. The third day brought them to the river Deva and the small port city of Kuna. It was there that they found the transportation they wished, and they set forth that same evening, heading south by bark to where the Deva joined with the mighty Vedra, and then proceeded onward to pass at last the wharves of Kaipur, their destination. As they flowed with the river, Sam listened to its sounds. He stood upon the dark deck, his hands resting on the rail. He stared out across the waters, where the bright heavens rose and fell, star bending back upon star. It was then that the knight addressed him in the voice of Ratri, from somewhere nearby.
You have passed this way before, Tathagatha.
Many times, he replied.
The Deva is a thing of beauty under the stars, in its rippling and its folding.
Indeed.
We go now to Kaipur and the palace of Kama. What will you do when we arrive?
I will spend some time in meditation, goddess.
Upon what shall you meditate?
Upon my past lives, and the mistakes they each contained. I must review my own tactics as well as those of the enemy.
Yama thinks the golden cloud to have changed you.
Perhaps it has.
He believes it to have softened you, weakened you.
You have always posed as a mystic, but now he believes you have become one. To your own undoing, to our undoing.
He shook his head, turned around, but he did not see her. Stood she there invisible, or had she withdrawn?
He spoke softly and without inflection.
I shall tear these stars from out the heavens, he stated, and hurl them in the faces of the gods, if this be necessary. I shall blaspheme in every temple throughout the land. I shall take lives as a fisherman takes fish by the net, if this be necessary. I shall mount me again up to the celestial city, though every step be a flame or a naked sword, and the way be guarded by tigers. One day will the gods look down from heaven and see me upon the stair, bringing them the gift they fear most. That day will the new yuga begin.
But first I must meditate for a time, he finished. He turned back again and stared out over the waters. A shooting star burnt its way across the heavens. The ship moved on. The night sighed about him. Sam stared ahead, remembering.